Okay, we want to turn first to Deuteronomy chapter 18 and verse 15. Deuteronomy chapter 18 and verse 15. This is a prophecy concerning a prophet who would be raised up like unto Moses. The Lord thy God will raise up unto thee a prophet from the midst of thee, of thy brethren, like unto me. Unto him ye shall hearken. Then we want to look at Acts chapter 3 and verse 22 and 23. Acts chapter 3, verse 22 and 23. For Moses truly said unto the fathers, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren, like unto me. Him shall ye hear in all things whatsoever he shall say unto you. And it shall come to pass that every soul which will not hear that prophet shall be destroyed from among the people. And then Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 1. Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 1. Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus. And Hebrews 4, verses 14 and 15. Hebrews 4, verses 14 and 15. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. This is a wondrous lesson. In our last lesson, we talked about Christ and his mediatorial office and his mediation toward all of his children and the signal fact that he is the only mediator between God and men. And now we come to this section tonight. I'll read what our confession says. It's entitled Christ, Prophet, Priest, and King. And these are the words. This office to which Christ is called is threefold. The prophet, the priest, and the king. This number and order of offices is necessary, for in respect of our ignorance, we stand in need of his prophetical office. In respect of our great alienation from God, we need his priestly office to reconcile us and continually make intercession for us. And we need his kingly office to uphold and preserve us to his heavenly kingdom. Now we have about a dozen scriptures. I've read some of them. But I want you to notice that scripture promises his prophetic office. Jesus Christ was a prophet. He spoke as a prophet. He spoke God's words. And that's what a prophet does. Never man spake like this man. He spoke the words of God. And he was raised up in the midst of Israel, a prophet like unto Moses. He came out from among his people of the lineage of David. So we read Deuteronomy 18:15. Now I want you please to turn to Acts chapter 3 and verse 20 through 23. I want to read this one more time. Acts 3:20 through 23. And he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you, whom the heaven must receive until the times of restitution of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. For Moses truly said unto the fathers, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren, like unto me. Him shall you hear in all things whatsoever he shall say unto you. And it shall come to pass that every soul which will not hear that prophet shall be destroyed from among the people. And why is it that they would hear him? His elect will surely hear his words and hear him and obey his words. It's because he was sent from God to speak God's words. That's the mission of a prophet. And I believe in the church today that the Lord has prophets. Romans tells us that that's the case. People have different capabilities and gifts, and one of those is the office of a prophet. In this sense, he preaches the words of God, and this is why we don't need a lot of funny stories when it comes time to talk about God's word. We need to read the Bible, and that's what the prophet does. He speaks the word of God. And Jesus did it, how? In the fullness of the Spirit. Scripture calls Christ Jesus the apostle and high priest of our profession. We read Hebrews chapter 3, verse 1. Let's read that again, and then we'll read in chapter 4, make a comment about this. Chapter 3, verse 1. Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus. When Jane and I lived on the ridge in Kentucky, one night we went down to a church that we'd never been to before, and I didn't know anybody there, but someone had asked us if we'd ever gone, and we decided to go that night. We were having services. And I remember this man stood up to read the scripture, and he read this verse. And for the rest of the time, I couldn't understand a word he said. He was one of those, back in Kentucky, they call them hackers. And he was just spurting out stuff, and it was almost like he was speaking in unknown tongues because I couldn't understand him. But it was good that I went, because that verse stuck in my mind and has been with me all these years. Holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling. All of you are that. You are holy, brethren. You have been called by the grace of God and by the preaching of the gospel. Now, Jesus is our high priest. He's passed into the heavens. But I believe that you'll agree with me when I say that he began his priestly ministry when he offered himself as a sacrifice on the cross. In fact, Hebrews will teach us that. He needed somewhat to offer. So he offered himself. And that was the beginning of his high priestly office. And brothers and sisters, we being in him when he was crucified, I want you to remember that we are crucified with him, and his body was sprinkled with blood from his head, his back, and every place. And I believe that's a place where the blood was applied to the saints of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he began his office as high priest right there, then ascended back to the Father, and there he sits tonight on the right hand of God, interceding for us as our high priest. And I'm persuaded that that will continue until it's time for him to display and enter into his third office as king. And I don't think it happened until that time. Back in Psalm chapter 2, verse 6, the Lord set his king upon his holy hill in Zion. Verse 6 said, "Yet have I set my king upon my holy hill in Zion." So that, brothers and sisters, is prophetic. It speaks about where he will give him the heathen for his in that same psalm. Now, as the king and as head of the church and as our high priest, he has sent you and I as ambassadors into the world. We're in a world that doesn't understand us. They really don't want any part of what we have to tell them about. They are estranged from it. But like Paul said in 2 Corinthians 5:20, "Now then we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God." Ambassadors are sent by a sovereign into, in our time, in nations around the world, by the president of our country. They build a building for them, which is an embassy. And that embassy is considered an actual part of the land of the U.S. as theirs is in our land. So what is an ambassador? This word appears twice in the New Testament. It's found in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 20, along with the verse we just read, where Paul said, "For which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak." Now, Paul was in chains. He was in Rome in prison. But he said, I am an ambassador in bond. And as we trace out Paul's life, after he had gone to Rome, he preached God's word to those people freely. They allowed that. The Lord opened the door for him to do that. And he preached to them the kingdom of God. And I'm confessing, I believe that many of God's people were called to him through Paul's ministry there as an ambassador. The Lord had told him, I'm delivering you and sending you to these people. So while the church is left on the earth, we don't know how long we're going to be here. The very first part of our mission is to teach or instruct and disciple those of the nations. This is a job of being an ambassador for Christ in a strange world among very strong opposing forces led by Satan himself. And it's not going to get any easier. It's getting darker and more difficult as the time goes along. But when God opens a door, we have a little strength. No man can shut it. And when he shuts the door, no man can open it. So we go about our task. The Lord continues to perform his role as high priest. I want to read some of the scriptures that go with our confession. Turn please to Colossians chapter 1 and verse 21 and 22. Colossians 1 verse 21 and 22. And you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death, to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. That's the work of the high priest when he was here. In Psalm 110 verse 4, we read more about his priestly office. Psalm 110 verse 4. The Lord has sworn and will not repent. Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. And you remember, brothers and sisters, that that scripture is quoted in the book of Hebrews, talking about his priesthood. Our brethren in the 1646 confession put this scripture in from the Song of Solomon, chapter 1, verse 4. Song of Solomon, chapter 1, verse 4. Draw me, we will run after thee. The king hath brought me into his chambers. We will be glad and rejoice in thee. We will remember thy love more than wine. The upright love thee. Talking about the drawing of the Lord. And the preserving of us. You know, he's not going to turn us loose. Amen. He's saved us. He's put us in the church. And he's not going to forsake us. He's not going to turn us loose. He that has begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. And Paul said this in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 18. And the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work, and will preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. And then one more scripture about this from Hebrews 7, verse 25. Hebrews 7, verse 25. This is talking about his high priesthood. Wherefore he, that is Jesus, is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. So we see that he was a prophet. He is a priest. And he is a king. And I want to talk to you about that for just a few minutes. I differ just a bit from the statement made in the last sentence of this article in the Confession, which says this: we need his kingly office to uphold and preserve us to his heavenly kingdom. I believe he preserves us under the kingdom's appearance by his high priestly intercession. He'll assume his office as king when he gets ready to come for his bride. I want to use some scriptures in support of what I've said. He is a king. He was born to that end. Read with me from Matthew 27, verse 11. Jesus was before Pilate, and Jesus stood before the governor. And the governor asked him, saying, art thou the king of the Jews? And Jesus said unto him, thou sayest. In other words, yes, you said it. That's right. And then please turn to John 18, verse 36 and 37. John 18, verse 36 and 37. Jesus is still here before Pilate. Jesus answered, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now, notice that, is my kingdom not from hence. Pilate therefore said unto him, art thou a king then? Jesus answered, thou sayest that I'm a king. And all four of the gospel writers wrote about the sign that was placed over Jesus' head on the cross, identifying him as the king of the Jews. I'll read John's account. The other three also said similar things. John 19, verse 19 and 20. And Pilate wrote a title and put it on the cross. And the writing was, Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. I think Pilate knew, no question about it, that he was. They tried to plow with Pilate. They said, don't write he's a king, write that he said he was a king. And they talked to him, and he finally said, what I've written, I've written. He's the king of the Jews. Jesus said, to this end, I was born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. The promise was made to his mother by the angel Gabriel, back in Luke chapter 1, verse 32 and 33. Let's read that, please. Gabriel said, "He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end." You remember at the birth of our Lord, when the wise men came from the east, they knew that the King of Israel was being born. Let's read from Matthew 2, verses 1 and 2. Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. "Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, 'Where is he that is born King of the Jews? For we've seen his star in the east and are come to worship him.'" In Matthew 21, verse 5, we read a quote from Zechariah chapter 9:9. In Matthew 21, 5, we read this: "Tell ye the daughter of Zion, behold, thy king cometh unto thee, meek, and sitting upon an ass, and a colt, the foal of an ass." Jesus is a king, but not as the world sees him. He has a kingdom today, but it's not visible except in the church. And the world doesn't see that. But he will manifest his kingship when he comes again. Let's read in Revelation, is a book which tells of his kingship. Please read with me from Revelation 15, verses 1 through 3. Revelation 15, verses 1 through 3. "And I saw another sign in heaven, great and marvelous, seven angels having the seven last plagues, for in them is filled up the wrath of God. And I saw, as it were, a sea of glass mingled with fire, and them that had gotten the victory over the beast, and over his image, and over his mark, and over the number of his name, stand on the sea of glass, having the harps of God. And they sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, 'Great and marvelous are thy works, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are thy ways, thou King of saints.'" The only time in Scripture that it says that, and it's in the book that reveals our Lord Jesus. Now, his kingship is spoken of in the 17th chapter and verse 14, where it speaks of the beast and the 10 kings. Revelation 17, 14. "These shall make war with the Lamb," that is, the kings and the beasts, "and the Lamb shall overcome them, for he is Lord of lords and King of kings, and they that are with him are called and chosen and faithful." And then Scripture shows us the first time that he shows himself as king. And this is the Scripture we all know so well, Revelation 19, verses 11 through 16. This is where he manifests his kingdom and his kingship. And I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron, and he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Now in the Matthew 25, which is part of the Olivet Discourse about the kingdom, Jesus is referred to as a king when he sits upon the throne of his glory. And I won't read that, but you know what it says. It's after his return, and it's when he sits on the throne of his glory and gathers all nations before him. This is where he sends all of those on his left, the goat nations, into eternal punishment and removes all of the sinners from the earth. Takes everything out of his kingdom that offends. And we see him next as king over all the earth. In the 14th chapter of Zechariah, we see him return with his saints in verses 4 and 5, then as king over all the earth in verse 9. Zechariah 14, 4 and 5. And his feet shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem on the east. And the Mount of Olives shall cleave in the midst thereof toward the east and toward the west. And there shall be a very great valley. And half of the mountain shall remove toward the north, and half of it toward the south. And ye shall flee to the valley of the mountain, for the valley of the mountain shall reach unto Azal. Yea, ye shall flee like as ye fled from before the earthquake in the days of Uzziah, king of Judah. And the Lord my God shall come, and all the saints with thee. Then in verse 9 of chapter 14, we read this, and the Lord shall be king over all the earth. In that day there shall be one Lord, and his name one. Brothers and sisters, there's no question about it. Jesus Christ has three offices to fulfill: prophet, priest, and king. As a prophet, he was sent and spoke the words of God. As a priest, he offered himself to buy us out of the slave market of sin once for all and set us free, and continues to intercede for us. I don't know all of the things about that. It's not revealed to us in Scripture, but he's there pleading for us. He's interceding for us. And I want to just read this because it's such a blessing to remember that he not only saved us and washed his people in his own blood from their sins, all of us, and continues to intercede for us, but he has made us, like him, both kings and priests. Let's read that to close our lesson tonight, Revelation chapter 1, verses 4 and 5. John to the seven churches which are in Asia, Grace be unto you and peace from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sin in his own blood, that's made us kings and priests. My, what a wonderful thing to remember. He'll take up his office as king upon his return to reign on the earth visibly. Every eye will see him. He'll remove from the kingdom all things that offend. This to me is tremendous. And will reign over the nations along with the saints with the rod of iron. Hey, pray for me that I won't, and I hope you won't be troubled with all of this horrible thing that's going on in this world today in our land. It's going to pass. It's going to pass. And when the trouble comes, he's going to be right there with us in the trouble. And it's going to be so great when it's all done and we see him as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. God bless you. Thank you. Do you have comments?